Let's have a look at this first slide for a moment. You know, last week I put a picture up of four drivers dealing with the mayhem of a snowflake. How on earth are we going to cope today with such hot weather? Gone from one extreme to the other, haven't we? Anyways, that's not our focus for this morning, really. Our focus for this morning is to think about what it means to be a healthy church. And do you know, actually, I'm not sure I'm the best one to be commenting on being healthy. I know about the need to exercise. I can't claim that I do it very often, but at least I know I'm supposed to. I know about the whole five-a-day thing, with fruit, that is, by the way. But that's a nice idea, isn't it? Mind you, this last week, if you were to count the raisins in the big bar of Cadbury's fruit and nut that we ate, then you know, maybe we would have got close on a couple of days. And just have a look at this. This will explain to you how I've been feeling for most of the week.
Oh, I'm still feeling a bit under the weather. How are you feeling?
How do you think I feel? It's stupid cold, haven't I? Thanks a lot.
Poor darling, you should have said something. I'd have come down and made you some soup.
I called for you. I said, Laura. You didn't come. So I dialed 999.
What? Where is he? Quickly, love. Okay, son, everything's going to be fine.
You're going
to die. Not if we can help it.
My head's so burning.
How did this happen?
He caught the cold off me.
Just don't think, do you?
I'm a bit confused. Hasn't he just got a cold?
For God's sake, woman, he's a man. He's got a man cold. Do not, under any circumstances, move from this bed, okay? You, take this bell. When he rings it, I want you to come to him and rub his head and say, poor little bunny.
Poor little bunny.
Okay, that's good. Let's go. I've got a man in Cancer Avenue with a hurty knee.
Sorry, what about me?
What?
Well, I've got a cold too.
Are we kidding? Have you not heard of Lemsit?
Laura, I want some soup. And I want to watch CBeebies.
Do you know, I want to know, how is it that you can pack so much truth into one short video clip? So much truth. You know, did you notice the confusion in Laura's face? That was just classic, wasn't it? That kind of bewilderment and confusion that she was feeling, and the what about me at the end. Listen, just don't mess with or mock the man cold. Anyways, that's what we need to be thinking about. So that kind of warning about the hot weather that we're having today, and you know, an honest comment or two about the difference between the knowledge of needing to be healthy and the reality of it, and then a laugh at a video clip. So think about what you'll make of these quotes then. The rate of church decline is like an unstoppable hemorrhage that will soon lead to certain death. We readily point the finger at or make comments about a broken society, but conveniently overlook the fracturing of our own church communities. Those quotes are not quite so easy to feel comfortable with or laugh about, are they? You know, the words that you see on the screen, they're actually my own words, but they say the same things that people have been writing about for a while now. You know, the health of the church in the UK is not all that it should be, and if we're actually prepared and totally honest enough to comment, we knew that already. You didn't need me to tell you that. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. We're still there this morning. And we've been thinking already about how we need to be a church with purpose. Our God-given purpose, how we need to be a church that's devoted to the things that God is giving to us. And those things are only ever going to work if we're a healthy church. A healthy church that's able to shine power and love and unity for all to see. And we'll be thinking about a church that shines power, love and unity next week in our all-age worship service. But to get to there, to connect up what we've already been doing with what we'll be doing next week, we need to stop here and think about this need to be a healthy church. So I wonder then, what are the hallmarks? What are the things that need to be there for us to be a healthy church? A church that will make a difference. And what difference will that actually be? When we've got all of these things in place correctly, and we're a healthy church, what difference is that going to make? Just very quickly, just turn to the person either side of you and share what you think. You know, what do you think are the hallmarks of a healthy church? Okay, when you're ready, just one or two, maybe call out some of the things that you've been sharing. Prayer, okay.
Love.
Love, yeah, thank you. Anybody else other than Allardyce want to share? Trust.
People.
People, yeah. It's quite handy. Second.
Willingness.
Okay, encouraging children, yeah. Okay, just hold on to those thoughts and others that you've been talking about, and listen as I read these verses from Acts 2. Follow in your Bibles, please, if you've got them with you. Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. Please don't think, oh, here we go again, I know what this says. We've had this reading the last 2 weeks. Look at it again, please. And we read again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So did we say similar things to what's in those verses? I think we pretty well did, didn't we? And I'm sure you said others that you didn't call out but are included in there as well. We need to be clear. We need to get ourselves clear of what this place of healthy church is all about. It needs to be actually a lived out experience, not just a know it all kind of church, but actually a lived out expression of being healthy as church together. You know, if this 5-a-day thing is supposedly good for our physical bodies, then I wonder what the equivalent would be for being a healthy church, particularly if we think about what we've got in these verses here. And then once we're clear on those things, what it is that we are trying to get a hold of and do well as church together, we can then think about the difference that that's going to make, the impact that a healthy church is going to have. So first of all, let's think about what goes into being a healthy church. And now if you're going to carry on thinking about, oh, he's just going to say the same things as he said the last couple of weeks, you're probably right, partly right, but I want you to keep listening, okay? And I just wonder whether what's already been said, what God has already laid on our hearts over these last couple of weeks from these verses, whether that has been helping us to be really excited and energized and motivated to be God's church, bursting with energy and enthusiasm, because we've seen something again of the awesome power of God working through his people, and we want to be like that for him. Because we've been reminded about the fullness and the vibrancy of church. We've noticed again what it means to be church. And we want to do our best for God and be this amazing place that others will look at and the Lord will add daily to us, those who are being saved. Is that what's happened already over these last couple of weeks of Bromsgrove Baptist Church? No? Nobody's excited and vibrant and enthusiastic, and we better keep going then, hadn't we? Good job, I've prepared a sermon for this morning. If you'd have said, yeah, we're there already at that point, we could probably stop, but we're not. Should have told you that ahead of time, shouldn't I? And then you could have cut me short. Anyway, we need to carry on. Just have a look at this chart for a moment. This seems to be the day, Mike, for quoting from statistics, because here comes a few more. This is the first chart I want to look at just very briefly of a huge research project that was done during last year about taking a spiritual health check of the life of the church in the UK. And the survey was done amongst church leaders and church congregations across all kinds of different denominations. Just look at the bottom line there, if you can just about read that on the screen from where you are, hopefully. You'll see there the six things that were identified as the key functions of church life, the important things, the things that church must simply be doing and doing well to be consistently healthy as church. Just look at those labels for a moment. Do you recognise them? Some of the words might be slightly different to the ones that we've just read from Acts 2, but they're the same things being said, aren't they? We already know what the hallmarks of a healthy church are. So when people were asked to score out of 1 to 4, 4 being the top, the most important, tell me which one of those things you think the survey revealed, people, ministers and churches together, are thinking are is the most important thing about being church. Which one? Which one came top? Go on, Eileen. Prayer. You'd hope so, wouldn't you? Just have a look at the results. Okay, so first of all, they're all pretty high up there, but just notice that prayer didn't come first, worship came first. And, you know, the first thing that amazed me actually was how close most of those things are, but they just do tail off as the focus goes on across the screen there. But, you know, first glance, it looks as though we're pretty healthy, balanced churches, and we've got the most fundamental things, parts of being church, in place. But then there's a bit of a twist, because the survey went on from there and said, okay, you've identified what you think currently is being demonstrated in your church as the most important thing by what it's actually doing, but now tell us what you think should be the most important thing, Eileen. What should be the most important thing for us as church? Say it again. Prayer, isn't it? Have a look at the results when the survey asked that question. What should be the most important? Now, that's a very different thing, isn't it? Just notice some significant changes there. Worship has shifted dramatically from being the most important thing to discipleship coming top, especially for ministers' opinions. There's much more fluctuation across the thing there. And, you know, when I look at this, I want to know what ministers think that they're doing. Where on earth has their focus gone on community and fellowship? Where has that gone? And what on earth are ministers thinking that they're doing with overseas mission? Why is that suddenly somehow irrelevant when asked the question, what should your church be focused on? What on earth is going on? If you compare those two charts, it just seems to me that there is so much confusion about what should be happening and what is actually happening in church life. It sounds more like, to me, that we're trying to be more the know-it-all church than we are trying to be that healthy church. We know what should be happening, but what's actually going on maybe is something different. You know, there's nothing that people outside the church like to do more than point out the differences between what we claim church to be like and what they actually end up seeing. What they see comes through us, doesn't it? The things we say, the things that we do with the whole of our lives are like windows into what church is about. That's a pretty scary thing for me, you know, that realisation that what we show people with our lives is going to shape their thinking about what church is like and what Christians are like. That's a huge responsibility for all of us. Are we showing people a healthy church, or are we showing something else? That's a big question. Let's think about those things that were on the chart. Just think first of all about worship. Healthy worship. The church in Acts expressed their worship, we're told, with glad and sincere hearts. Every day they were meeting in their homes and in the temple courts. All these things were going on constantly. Do you know, I heard it once said about Christians that Christians are the best at being joyful in church on a Sunday as they sing up well and as they lift their hands in exuberant praise and show so readily how much it means to them to know Jesus. And it's those same Christians who are the best at walking around for the rest of the week with faces like thunder, as though their brains don't realise yet that how they express themselves on a Sunday can be the same, needs to be the same, as what they're doing every other day of the week. The worshipping life of a healthy church sets praise and joy at the heart of everything, not just what the worship group are doing on a Sunday morning, but everything. And even when that's expressed through tears and pain, which will happen to all of us at different times, then that sense of joy and certain hope that comes through knowing Jesus will still be there with a church that's expressing healthy worship. Now let's move on to prayer. We're only kind of really touching on these things. We could delve into them so much deeper, but let me just touch on prayer. The survey that I've already referred to asked people how often they pray. Now, bearing in mind that two groups of people were asked, ministers and congregations, what percentage of ministers would you hope said that they pray every day? And what percentage of congregations would you hope say they pray every day? Right, get this. 89% of ministers said they pray every day. 71% of congregations said they pray every day. They are terrible figures. Absolutely awful figures, aren't they? And 89% of ministers say that they pray every day. How does that work? You know, okay, the other 11% did say they prayed several times a week. But come on, to be a healthy church, prayer needs to be so fundamental that we don't stop praying. You know, we breathe constantly, we eat regularly, we sleep every day, some of us more than once a day, I have to say. We stay pretty healthy doing that, don't we? We can't expect to stay as healthy church if we don't pray every day. You know, when John Wesley was well into his 80s, he wrote in his journal one day of his dismay over the utter poorness of the poor quality of his prayer life. And his explanation was that these days he only seemed now to be able to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spend time in quiet solitude of prayer before the day got going. He used to be able to get up at 4:30 in the morning. That's a man who was expressing his passion and his commitment to pray. You know, if we compare our own standards to John Wesley's, maybe we would describe his attitude as prayer of more like OCD prayer life than healthy prayer life, wouldn't we? We need to pray. We need to keep praying. We need to pray together. We need to pray. The prayer life of a healthy church will be vibrant and it will be constant. It's going to be about praying for each other as well as praying for those who don't yet know Jesus. Maybe particularly praying for those who don't yet know Jesus. We need to let our friends and our communities know that we are praying for them. That's important. Healthy prayer isn't all about us saying, okay God, here's my list of things that I need from you today. But it's about us coming humbly before God daily and saying, Lord, here I am. What is it that we're doing together today? Prayer grows our relationship with God. Prayer strengthens our relationships with each other. When we pray together, we're encouraged by the ways that others around us pray, aren't we? You know, all that growing and strengthening and deepening of relationship, it comes through prayer, it also comes through healthy discipleship as well. That's about us growing healthily together as we encourage each other in our lives of faith, as we support and through the direction of Jesus. You know, a view of discipleship is so often about people saying, oh, discipleship is the thing that churches do to tell me how bad I am and how rubbish I am and how I should be so much better. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not healthy discipleship. But it's about being together as the body of Christ. And learning from each other and encouraging each other and motivating each other to keep going. Next comes this view of a healthy evangelism. You know, I need to be careful here because I could easily go off on one at this point and sound massively critical of most of the things that Christians do under the banner of evangelism or outreach, whatever word you prefer. So remember as I say this that we're trying to understand how to have the windows of our lives give a good and balanced and healthy view to those who are looking in. So why is it then that churches so often deliver second best when it comes to outreach? Healthy evangelism, healthy outreach, it seeks to understand the needs of those around us so that we can connect with them. But so often, maybe we end up showing them our exaggerated way or our out-of-date, cheesy way of being church kind of stuff. And you know, when we do that, it would be so much better to hide it away. healthy evangelism has to make sense or it's going to push people away. Healthy outreach has to connect and be relevant with people. It has to offer God's transforming love to people in the realities of their own lives, whatever that is, good or bad. And you know, for all of our efforts, we could get that perfect. And for all of our efforts in getting to this place of perfect, healthy evangelism and outreach, for those who don't know Jesus, well then look, if our sense of community within church isn't right in the first place, then we might as well just stop because we're wasting our time completely. You see, so many people need to see a balance of togetherness that's attractive, more attractive than their brokenness. A place of healing and wholeness needs to be there to see within healthy community of church, to deal with pain and struggle, to make a difference. A place of purpose that overcomes meaningless, a place of hope that will speak into the darkness of despair. Those things are healthy community of church. A healthy church community, people living together in covenant unity, that's the place. That's the thing that we need to be showing to those around us. And finally, in that list on that chart comes the thing that fits all together to build healthy church, and that was a focus on mission, particularly in the survey that I've quoted from. It was about overseas mission. How can we ever dare to say as church that it's not important anymore to have a focus on overseas mission and still claim to be healthy? How can we withhold from others the blessing that we've been given through knowing Jesus? Just listen to these words of Jesus about what he says about a healthy church and a healthy church mission mindset, what that will look like. Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Where? To the ends of the earth. Nothing's changed. We can identify the healthy hallmarks of a church just as readily as the Antiques Roadshow can pick up something precious and find a hallmark stamped on it and explore it and examine it and have it make sense because of that hallmark. They do that, don't they? They carefully hold that thing, they scrutinise it, maybe even comment on where improvements could be made to add to its value, and then they give their final opinion. You know, the precious thing that we're holding is called church, and it has God's hallmarks stamped all over it. So how is ours looking? How are we measuring up? What is the impact of healthy church for us? You know, as we get into this, I hope you know where I'm going with this. See the impact of healthy church. How will we see that? Acts 2:41 says 3,000 were added to their number that day. Acts 2:47 says the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Do you know, the Lord won't ever do that in places of disunity, compromise, half-hearted devotion or anything like that. It's a healthy church that God needs, because that's the absolute best that he can have us be showing a watching world. In the name of Jesus, God needs us to be that healthy church. What more do we need to say than that? It's a healthy church that will be there to show people a community of grace and love, a place of true belonging. It's a healthy church that will be there to offer that transforming love of God that I've already mentioned this morning. That transforming love of God that nurtures and guides and equips and empowers us through every aspect of life in ways that always show Jesus. You know, an unhealthy church, though. Actually, do you know, I'm not sure I want to dwell on that phrase. Unhealthy church to me is pointless, and even putting those two words together, unhealthy and church, kind of makes me want to feel sick. Unhealthy church is pointless. Anything that adds to injustice and intolerance is unhealthy compared to what we've been thinking about this morning. So is anything that divides instead of bringing together, or segregates instead of embracing unity and belonging, that's all unhealthy. Please don't let that be, ever let that be, what church is like here. Because if it is, then the windows into church I've already mentioned really do need to be closed and bolted, because otherwise people are never going to see Jesus. We need to be a purposeful and a devoted and a healthy church. And I have another document at home that has 10 questions on it, 10 health check questions, challenging the church to be more outward focused, to pray for those who need Jesus, to build inclusive community, to deal quickly with difference, to give opportunities for learning, to preach the gospel regularly, to have church activities that connect with people. They're all massively challenging questions on that sheet, and here's one that I particularly want to focus on. It says this: is the leadership of the church evangelistic? The congregation will follow and emulate the priorities of the church leadership. That specifically mentions evangelism there, but you'll see what I've done on the screen. It mentions evangelism because the paper is drawn up with 10 questions to diagnose the evangelistic health of your church. But we could rephrase that sentence with any of those words at the bottom. Is the leadership of your church worshipping, praying, discipling, etc.? And it's still be important that we need to hold on to those things. Priorities shape and direct and drive, don't they? And attention to those priorities determines how much time we give to other things. If you were to ask me how this last week has been in the life of church, in terms of the priorities that we as a leadership team have had, from my perspective at least, I would have to say to you, it's been pretty unhealthy. My sense of attention to the priorities that, you know, God has been setting in place for us to focus on as church have been totally wrecked again by the urgency of managing other things that need to be dealt with, and mostly connected with our buildings again. And those of you who have spoken to me about those things this week will probably have been on the receiving end of my less than brilliant and less than gracious way of handling all of that. I know that I've let my primary priority of ministering in a way that enables people to see and reach out to Jesus, I know that that has been masked this week by the issues of our buildings, and I need to apologise to you for letting that happen. I ought to apologise to my family as well for my grumpiness. But here's the thing. It's not just my man cold that I've had this week that's caused that to happen. It's not helped, by the way. But it's not only that. But you know, it's been going on because of this sense of calling and total commitment that I have to do my best to lead well so that church can be healthy. And it's been caused by my total and utter frustration that things yet again have got in the way of, or tried to trip us up from being the healthy church that God would have us be. You see, we are going to be constantly asked by God to take steps of faith as church. There will never be a time to put the church on cruise control. Hopefully by now you're hearing these words again and you're recognising them. Let me carry on with the quote. There isn't an example in Scripture of God asking someone to do something easy or that made sense. And with that in mind, all of us have 2012 just about in our rearview mirror, and 2013 is quickly becoming a reality. So, what steps of faith will you and your church take in 2013? What dreams will you dream? What prayers will you pray? And what vision will you cast that produces so much passion in people that your church becomes fully alive because it rallies around a cause that matters? God has never called the church to play defense. The tomb is empty. Hallelujah, you know, come on. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. We are on the winning team. Jesus has promised to build his church and has raised you up for such a time as this to open up the offense and run up the score. So let's spend time in appreciation for 2012, but also in anticipation for 2013. There is nothing but opportunity in front of us. The world has never been more desperate for what Jesus has to offer, and we are God's church, so let's do this. You know, as I was reading through this, you know, where it was saying about what steps of faith will you take, and what dreams will you dream, and what prayers will you pray, if only we could get beyond a basement that's flooded again yesterday when we thought it was just about dry, and the roof that's still leaking here and over there, and all of those things. These are things we need to get beyond, so that we can be this church, this healthy church, that's dreaming these dreams and is praying these prayers and casting the vision that people are going to run to. God never said. God never said that it would be easy. But through Jesus, he has commissioned his church with purpose of enabling people to be saved by faith in Jesus. He's commissioned his church to be totally devoted to Jesus. And we demonstrate that through the right and healthy balance of our worship and our prayer and discipleship and outreach, our covenant community focus that we need to have, that moves us beyond ourselves to the ends of the earth. We are God's church. So let's do this. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, as we just pause and ask, Lord, fill us with your Spirit's power right now. Lord, we ask you to move in power through us, through your people. Lord, the desire of our hearts is to be this purposeful and devoted and healthy church for you, Lord. Not for ourselves, but for you. And Lord, particularly so that those around us who don't yet know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour will be able to look in through the windows of our lives and see Jesus. And they'll be able to look in on us as your church and see hope and an opportunity for healing and for wholeness. That they'll look in on us and see a place where they can belong, a place of unity, a place of togetherness. That they'll see in us, Lord, your church of worshipping, praying, people reaching out, all those things that we've been talking about today. Lord, this is the cry of our hearts. And so, Lord, as we sing the words of a song we sang a couple of weeks ago now, as we sing, Lord, we long for you. Father, as we sing, Lord, heal our nation, and that we long to see healing in our nation and see your Spirit moving, Father, remind us again that we are part of the answer to that happening as we strive to be healthy church in your name. I want to encourage us all, please, to stand if we can as we sing these words of our response to God this morning. Let this be the cry of our hearts, that we long to see healing in this land, that we long to see the church rising up and being filled with purpose and power and being healthy in the name of Jesus. Let's stand if we can, please, and sing together.